Love Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael from the Nation of Yehuda, the Yehuda Project. I just wanted to say hello to everyone. It is indeed a privilege to be able to come before you today. I look forward to all of our callers that we're going to have on the show today. But before I start to do that, I'm going to play a song for you, and I hope you like it. Here we go. Get it to play.
In the Hall of Fame, the mere mentioning of your name, if they knew I love you the way that I need it, I guess it couldn't be a shame when someone is falling in love. When it's all said and done, and I never knew about the pain, there was no proof. Oh, what a shame.
All right, you guys, we're going to cut this off a little bit, and we're going to go ahead on with our show. That was Anthony Hamilton, Change Your World. Beautiful song, beautiful song. I just wanted to let everyone know that I'm glad to be here today, and hopefully we'll get that to play and like we needed to play because we had some technical difficulties. I'm going to get Brother Adonia on the line real quick so he can say hello and a shout-out to everybody from Atlanta, Georgia. Brother Adonia, are you there?
Shalom, shalom, Boquit. Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, all right, all right. It sounds like a plan. So how are you this afternoon?
I'm not feeling too well today, but I'll be all right. I'm trying to just listen in.
Oh, okay, okay. That'll work, that'll work. Well, we hope that you are feeling better. We would definitely be say a prayer for you and everything and hope you feel better. All right, then. Well, I'm going to get right down to the show. We're still waiting on our other co-host to call in. And as soon as she calls in, we'll get the ball rolling, give everybody a chance to call in. Had a very interesting week this week, trying to put some things together for the march that we're having on November the 1st. I just wanted to let everyone know that we do have our website. It will be up officially tomorrow. We will be able to give that information to those people who email us. We'll give you the information that you need. I've been checking on transportation issues for everyone who wants to go by bus. We want to let you know that we have found a lot of cheap tickets with the Megabus. If you want to check for availabilities and seats and stuff like that on the Megabus, once we put our website up, or you can call the Megabus yourself and find out what it would cost. But I know there were some seats from Atlanta where it would only cost $13 one way and $13 the other way. So we want everyone to have an opportunity to be able to come in and to join us in the march. We've had several people to contact us. We have hotel accommodations already in place, and we will definitely be confirming all of those things on tomorrow, because tomorrow is the day that we are getting our permit from Washington, D.C. itself so that we can go ahead and have the march itself going on. So those are the things that are happening right now. Been doing a lot of studying and getting prepared for the actual march and getting people prepared, you know, for what the purpose is. Because, you know, the reason for the march, and a lot of people say, why are we marching? And the reason for the march is to come together as a nation and to show ourselves strong as a nation, and to come up against human and civil rights and race relations in this country. And we know that, you know, race relations have been a big issue with us in America. And we had a young man from Chicago on not too many weeks ago who was talking about race relations and how we need to stand up as a people. So, again, you know, I don't have a whole lot to talk about today. We're just going to have an open forum. So what I wanted to do is let anyone that wants to talk about something or have a comment that they want to talk about, please push one, because we're just going to talk today. I don't have anything in particular to talk about, and I don't want to keep advertising the march until we get everything situated that we need to get situated. But I was reading an article today, Brother Donia, with Oprah Winfrey, and she was talking about an incident that she had when she went to Switzerland. And it was a purse shop or something that she went into, and she asked the lady to see the purse, and the shop attendant wouldn't let her see it. She was like, "No, you don't want to see that one. You want to see this one." And she was like, "No, I really want to see that one." And she said, "No, you don't want to see that one because you can't afford it." She didn't know who she was. So, you know, it's a clear indication that no matter how much money you have, and I don't know how this lady didn't know who Oprah Winfrey was, but no matter how much money you have, they still have the stigma in their mind when it comes to us. And it's really pretty sad, you know, that people come and they have, you know, that you have to go through that. But there's always a constant reminder, no matter how rich you are, that even the lowest person and the most needy person in our nation, we're not any greater than that person at all. Until we all come together, we're just not going to get the propers like we're supposed to in America. So, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, we want to talk about. And I see we have a lot of callers on here today. And, again, push one, because I really don't have a whole lot in terms of a topic to talk about. Anyone have any current events that you want to bring to the table? You know, because we've gone over 19,000 listeners in 21 weeks. So, you know, people are listening. I did want to let you know that we need to start making some donations to PayPal. I did check it last week, and a couple of people have started to do that, but we need to campaign for people to start making donations to our PayPal account so that we can prepare, because a lot of people are not going to be able to afford to go to the march, and that's fine. But we have a lot of things that we're trying to prepare for us to be able to have when we get there. So if you want to donate your money or your time or your talent, you know, we need people to we need artists and we need graphic artists to put together flyers and things like that. We're going to be passing out literature. This is our opportunity to go to the Capitol and pass out literature about who we are, what we believe, and what we stand for. I know that it is buzzing all up in Missouri, Virginia, Florida. People have been calling me from those states saying that they would definitely be there with us. I had one of the brothers who has a street ministry in California. He said that he's trying to put his finances together so he can come. So it's a pretty big deal now, you know, to understand what's going on. And we want everybody to participate. But if you can't afford to come, you can't afford to come. But we would love to have you there. If you can't, we would ask you to, you know, to help us out financially so that in the event that, you know, we need other things, small things like water or like I said, copies being made to be able to pass out, that we would have the finances to be able to do that. And Israel has the funds to do it. We have the funds to do it. We can do what we set our mind out to do if we can just get people to understand the importance of coming together as a nation and bringing this stuff together as a nation. So, you know, I don't want you to sit back today, you know, and just listen. This is one of those shows where we need you to be engaged. You know, if you have anything you want to talk about in terms of current events or something that you can bring to the table. I had a sister call me from Atlanta and kind of, you know, give me some information as to what she's doing. And we have some very powerful people becoming conscious in Israel that are doing some very powerful things. I mean, people that are up in the music industry. We have people that are in the broadcasting industry. You know, we have people that are coming conscious that are in the banking industry. You know, we have lawyers that are becoming conscious. I mean, it's just growing at a very fast pace, and people are wanting to know. I had the privilege of talking to an attorney this week, and she's, you know, she's in Christianity and everything, but you know, her curiosity is piqued, and she's wanting to know, and she's asking questions, you know, so I put together some literature for her to be able to read. But, you know, the church is waking up.
Hallelujah.
They're coming out, you know, they're wanting to know, you know. And she fought against me a little bit, Brother Donia. She did. She fought against me a little bit, but, you know, because it's hard to accept, you know, when you realize that you have been misled, it's really hard to accept a lot of things. But in the interim of things, you know, I think the conversation went very well. And I just wanted to let her know, you know, that the Nation of Yehuda and the United Nation of Israel, we have been commissioned to build a nation. And not only commissioned to build a nation, but to be able to provide our people with instruction. And a lot of people want to say, well, why do you come together as a nation? What's the point? Because Yah's coming to get us. Well, Yah is he is the creator, and he's very detailed and organized, and he does things very decently and in order. And the purpose for coming together as a nation is to bring everyone together and up under an umbrella where it doesn't say we all live in the same state, because we're powerful because we're scattered all over the place. But the fact that you can tap into one source and be able to say, I need instructions on how to grow my own food. We have all that on the website. I need to get in touch with the agricultural department because I want to get seeds that are not genetically modified. We have that already on the website. I need to have information on what herbs that I need to use in order to combat this disease. We have that already on the website. We have divisions and people that are in place to be able to give you this information as structurally as we possibly can. And this is what this is all about. We know we're in captivity. We're not asking them to give us any land. We're not asking them to do anything for us. We are not asking them to even come together as a nation. All we're saying in Israel is that it is time for us to become self-sufficient and be able to take care of ourselves, because it is getting to the point very rapidly now where things are getting ready to change very drastically. So our job is to educate everyone, make everyone aware of what's going on, you know, in terms of current events, where we need to be. Some people are changing their status, which I think is excellent, because understanding sovereignty and becoming a dual nationalist, you have a more flexibility and the ability to be able to do things where if you're a 14th Amendment slave, you can't do anything, and a lot of people don't even understand that. So I want to also announce that we are having our sovereignty class this Wednesday at 7:30, and for those who are interested, we had to postpone it last week because we had some issues, but if for those who are interested in joining the class, I will be, the phone number for the class is 559-726-1300. And the access code is 151286. And we need you all to just listen. You know, we're not twisting anybody's arm. We're just asking you to listen, you know, and to actually, you know, just give it a thought, listen, research the information, and then make a sound decision from there. If you don't want to do it, fine. We still have people that are members of the Nation of Yehuda or the United Nation of Israel without giving up sovereignty. You don't have to do that at all whatsoever, but in order for us to be able to move in the international circles that we need to move in and to begin our diplomatic relations with different countries, we have to be sovereign citizens. It is against the law to be a 14th Amendment citizen and to speak on behalf of another nation. They consider that to be treason. So there are certain things that we know as pertaining to the law where we have to prepare ourselves and get ourselves ready. So, again, the board is open. And I ask you please to push 1 if you have something that you want to talk about or a current event that you want to give. We'll be ready to listen. And if you want to say something, we want to hear what you have to say. On the Sabbath on Saturday, we really had a good class because we were instructed about the wilderness. And the instructor went through detail by detail about the wilderness and what it involved and the process and everything. And it was very informative. So the Nation of Yehuda is putting together a website that will be able to give instruction, and then we'll have a website that is strictly geared toward our government, our offices and our departments and the things that we need. So we've had a lot of people, you know, to call and say, well, I would like to be able to help. What do you need me to do? And that's what we need. We need people that are willing to come to work and get started. So, Brother Donnie, you have anything you want to say?
I just want to ask a question. Should I wait before I purchase my ticket to find out whether you got a permit or not?
Well, I think you should. I mean, I would wait at least until Tuesday, because I'm going to call the lady tomorrow, and she told me to call her tomorrow to get, you know, the information for the permit, and then, you know, we can get the tickets. But, you know, I think $13 is pretty cheap. That's the cheapest you're going to get them.
No, I don't have no problem with paying that. I just want to know. I don't want to waste the money and you don't have no permit.
Right. I understand. And that's very good. And, you know, like I said, you absolutely wait, you know, but I don't see where there's a problem. I did have an agent call me on Friday. I believe she was from the FBI. And, you know, they're doing background checks on me, and that's fine because I don't have a record. I haven't been in any trouble. I don't have any issues like that. And they asked me a couple questions, and I went through the questions and answered the questions to the best of my ability. And she told me that everything checked out and that they were moving the application for the Capitol building to the next phase. So it is happening, people. It is truly happening. We are making this happen. And I think it's so profound, Adonia, that it's happening now. You know, I was talking to a brother, and I'm like, you know, this couldn't have happened 20 years ago.
No, it could not have. It's the Almighty's time that we're dealing with. We don't, you know, we got to recognize that the Almighty had already set things up. You understand? When it reaches a period in time, the Almighty's going to start moving, letting us. You know what it says in Zephaniah? And I keep saying that he's my favorite prophet. He says that he was going to turn this captivity right before our eyes. So that's what he's doing now. He's turning the captivity right before our eyes. So we're recognizing the movement of Yah. You understand? So we got to just do what he say, you know, do what we say we're going to do. If we say that we need agriculture, then this is what we need to be working on. We need to work on that feverishly. You know, because the sooner we get started, you understand, the sooner things happen. If we're going to drag our feet, then we're going to get what dragging our feet entails. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I think he's absolutely right. And like I said, it's important for us to understand the importance of everybody coming together. And one thing I've learned about Israel is scared. Israel is a very apprehensive people. They don't just jump at the first thing. And, you know, I had one of the sisters had just come out of Christianity, and she asked me a question. She said, what's wrong with everybody? I said, what do you mean? She said, I mean, you know, coming out of Christianity and everybody's just rah-rah, and yeah, we can do all things and we can make it happen. She said, and then you come over here and everybody's just looking at you like, what you jumping around for, you know? But I had to explain to her that I felt the same way when I first came into this. But the more I study and the more I understand the whole procedure and the process of what we are about to experience, the more you realize, the more knowledge you get, the more powerful you are.
That is correct.
Because not only do you learn how to control your emotions, but you learn that there's a protocol to things, and the Most High is going to do things according to protocol. And everybody's like, yeah, yeah, it's nothing wrong with getting excited, but we got to make sure that this is of Yah. So, you know, and I said that to say this. Israel is very cautious when it comes to moving out. And I'm not quite sure if it's based completely out of fear or they're waiting for confirmation. You know, and that's a good question that I will pose to our listening audience. What do you think the apprehension is for Israel? Because a lot of people feel like, well, we're just waiting on Yah, and Yah's going to come and get us. But Yah has always, all through the scriptures that I read in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he has always used men.
That is correct.
Always. to get the job done. And then it comes the question, well, how come he chose you? You know, or who said you was going to be it? You know, so it's a whole lot of variables. Brother Donnell, why do you think that they're so apprehensive?
Well, one thing I'm finding out is that everybody has their own understanding on how they perceive the Almighty to come and do what they think that he should be doing. There's no middle of the ground with them. You understand? If the Almighty don't come the way they think it should come, then he's not coming, or he's not you, or he's not anybody. What has to be understood is that if we don't do nothing, we're going to keep getting the same thing that we've been getting. This is not the movement is not going against anything that the Almighty has said. He already said that we were supposed to gather ourselves. And if we don't gather ourselves, then we in breach of that commandment. The Almighty said that we're supposed to do all of the commandments. That is a commandment that we overlook, gathering ourselves. I don't know what's wrong, but one thing I understand is that those that understand that is the ones that got to wear the extra hats. We got to put this thing together. They going to come, they had a thing in one of Kevin Costner's movies. If you build it, they will come. And I believe that in Israel, if we start doing what we start doing what we're doing, the Almighty will bless our endeavor. Trust me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I mean, you're very optimistic about our people and optimistic, but there are so many different beliefs, and people have so many different areas of understanding. And the issue comes in, and when I look at that, when the person was teaching about the wilderness, and I thought about the church, I said, you know, the church doesn't even teach the wilderness. They don't even embrace the place of safety, because they have been taught that they're going to rapture up out of here before anything happens, and they don't even teach anything about the wilderness. So when you have people that are waiting, do you think it's a political thing? Is it a power struggle? Is there politics in Israel where people feel like they have been in this thing longer and that they should be the one organizing it? Because what we're doing, and a lot of stuff we don't divulge over the radio because we just don't, because some things are a need-to-know basis for the people that are in our immediate cabinet. But what we are doing is far greater than a march. What we are doing is far greater than the State of the Nation address. He is moving us through political channels, organizing things and getting things prepared for the people. And as much as we plead, and it was probably the same way with Moshe. When Moshe went back to Egypt to give the commandment, they probably did him the same way. He probably had to convince them that he was who he said he was.
Yeah, one thing I'm finding out that about Moshe and that era is that Moses had the faith. The people didn't have no faith. They was just hurting enough that they wanted to do something different. You understand? And you can tell by when they got out into the wilderness, they murmured like hell. You understand? So they didn't have no faith. Right? Moses had all the faith. You understand? And so that's what I'm looking at right now. Those that understand the workings of the Almighty and the period of time that we in, you understand, we have the faith, and we need to move on that. We the ones that need to gather ourselves and leave the door open, because we're going to get people, you understand, we might get people blocking the door. You understand? It's going to be so many people once they find out, man, I'm sick and tired of this. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is that, you understand, we that have the understanding, you know, like the Yehuda Project and the United Nations of Israel, you understand, we got to stand on that. We got to get these little accomplishments together, and we got to talk. We got to make those things to be known so that people will know that the Almighty is working with us. You understand what I'm saying? And as far as See, the Almighty, you understand, will let you know if your movement is right or is wrong. You understand? He pays you to your face, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. You'll know that it comes from the Almighty. You understand? So, you understand, all we have to do is keep doing what we're doing. You understand what I'm saying? Keep talking about it because, you know, like my brother had mentioned years ago, that the apple don't grow on the tree all year long. You understand? Mm-hmm. We had to catch it in the season. So when people, you know, they don't understand it now, they will catch up with it sooner or later. My thing is keep putting your money in the treasury.
That's right. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And if you keep putting your money in the treasury, if you're skeptical, sitting on the fence, and got these if, and, buts, or maybes, put your money in the treasury anyway because it's going to come to you. The understanding of what the Almighty wants us to do will be revealed to you. It's just that you're not receptive at this point. Hallelujah.
Well, I mean, that sounds good. We got quite a few people on the line. The line is open. Somebody push one because we don't want to have this conversation between ourselves. Why do you think Israel is so apprehensive about moving? What do you think the problem is in terms of our situation? Do you think it is the interpretation of scriptures, or do you think it is the fear that they have, or do you think it's politics? What is it that makes Israel so apprehensive in moving and getting the momentum started? Because we've been sitting around for a long time being persecuted, and some people, it is true what they say, the curse was perfect. It is perfect in its application because it allowed us to get comfortable, just like they got comfortable in Babylon, just like they got comfortable in Egypt. And I heard somebody say once that all we want and we're satisfied with is a condo on Lake Babylon. Don't bother my life and leave me and my kids alone because I got a job and I'm feeding myself. I don't want to hear nothing about gathering and leaving right now. And I don't want to hear nothing about coming together as a nation because you're drawing attention to us. And I had a young man tell me, or older guy tell me once, he was like, I'm living good right now. Them white folks love me. They got me a job. I'm working. I'm making my own money. I ain't got to worry about nothing. And we kept telling him, but you still a slave. And he started laughing. He said, I'm not no slave. Like we said, yeah, you still a slave. He said, I'm not no slave, and if I am, I'm living good. I'm a good living slave, so I'm satisfied with my lifestyle. And these are the mentalities that we have to deal with from Israel because a lot of people are comfortable with their life.
Mm. Yep. You let us start making a movement to get out of here, you understand? All that weight going to fall on those people that are comfortable. You understand? The ones that have the condo and a nice job and the kids is in college, you understand? You let there be a movement of us getting out of here. All of that weight and everything gonna fall. They ain't gonna have nobody to put in jail but them folks that think that they safe.
That's true. That's true. And that's a scary situation because you're absolutely right. What do we do with the people who have gotten comfortable? The part that I don't understand, Israel, and let me say this, is this. The part I don't understand is do we realize that we are people with our own land? We are a people with our own covenant with the Most High. And the more knowledge that I acquire in the covenant that he has made with us, the more I detach myself from these things on this earth because you're not going to be able to bring those. You can't bring that house with you, and you ain't going to bring that car with you because guess where we're going? We're headed to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize
well, one
we're
thing
from
that,
the Middle
also,
East?
Yeah. One thing also, Guevara, is that it's not going to be everybody. You understand? Mm-hmm. And us going back to the land, that's down the road. We first got to come together. And we first got to come together and find out what's on the agenda. The first thing that's on the agenda is that we got to learn how to eat every day because this society right here now is going to cut us off, and we ain't got nothing set up. I was looking at Powernomics with Dr. Hendrix Anderson. No, Dr. Clark Anderson. You understand? He talks about us, us as a nation. You understand that we back there in 1930, we only produced 1% of a half a percent of 1% of the wealth of America. And right now today, we're in the same position. We only produce one half of 1%. You understand? So we got to recognize our needs here. You understand? And as we start coming together, we will understand we will put things on our agenda. First thing is first is eating every day. You understand? I've become accustomed to eating every day. You understand? I don't know about nobody else, but I know I'm eating every day here. You understand? But I know that they're going to cut this stuff off, and then where am I going to be at? I ain't got nothing stored up in here, man, of no consequence. You understand? So that's one of the things. You understand? Then we got to be able to set up hospitals and things like that. Man, we supposed to be able to support our own needs. We got to take our own destiny in our own hands. We can't keep looking at them people. They go to Al Sharpton and them going to the president for them to write up another law to say that so that they can stop shooting us, at random on the streets. You understand? That's doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. Like I said, let me make this announcement. Brother Donian is just talking. If you want to jump into our conversation, please push 1. We would love to hear what you have to say in terms of our people as a nation, because like you said, they're still trying to assimilate themselves into this culture. And it's nothing wrong with passing laws to protect us as a people. I mean, because Daniel did it with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he went to bat for all of the people that were with him in the king's palace during the time that the statue was made. The Most High has always had individuals of high stature involved in politics to be able to whisper into the ear of the king and say, look, don't you think it would be all right for us to be able to go back and build a temple? Why don't you write a decree so that we can go back and be able to build our temple? There were kings in place that were not Israel that he allowed for them to give us favor to be able to do certain things. And it does not change today. He still has people preparing themselves to whisper into the ear of the king. And the Most High is going to give us favor to be able to do certain things. And all we're saying is there are people out there that are listening to our radio show, that are on our call right now, who have valuable things to bring to the table. We need you to step up to the plate and be able to come to the table, because we're full of talents and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, but he's always used men, and we've always used men to do it. And we have a lot of people on this line as we do, and we appreciate you all taking your time out every Sunday to meet us here. You know, but we need to get people involved. Someone emailed me for me to send them information about the hotel accommodations. I will let you know right now that we have a contract with the Comfort Inn in Washington, D.C. on 1600 New York Avenue. And all you have to tell them is that you are wanting to book a room under the contract of the Nation of Yehuda, and the room is $79 a night for the actual march. But we are still getting people engaged, because we need for you to be engaged. We need you to help us. If you don't want to be out in the front, that's okay. I'll be out in the front. My name is all on all that paperwork. They traveling through. They probably know everything about me by now, but that's okay, because he designed me to do it that way. I'm designed to do it that way, and I don't go out of my house looking for bombs under my car. I'm leaving all that, man, because I know that the Malakims are watching over me. I don't have any issue with that. So I'll be out in front, and we got some men that are out in front too, Brother Donia and a couple of other brothers that are out there actually on the move doing stuff for the nation. We're getting it together for the nation, because like he said, at the end of the day, we got to be able to eat. Now, we might not be able to have our own hospitals and stuff, but we can have our own clinics, and we can have our own doctors, and we can do the things that we need to do to govern us, because this is how it's going to go down. If they cut you, they will cut you off of your assistance if you refuse to get the chip in your hand. We talked about that. All of you all who didn't hear that radio show, go back and archive. the Obama microchip, the Obamacare, and how they set up the microchip to go in your hand. We cannot allow that to happen. We have to come together as a nation so that we can govern and take care of ourselves. We have people that have land. Some of you all out there have land. You know, it's nothing wrong with, we can either start farming on the land or we can start building some houses or apartments on the land. We've got to start taking care of ourselves until we get up out of here. But we are headed out of here. And so many things are happening politically to confirm that word that you all wouldn't believe it. And we can't really give any information out now. But once we're able to release the information, you will know that the Most High is on the move. Israel is waking up. You know, and this is such a crucial time that, if you know, he's getting the people together who have the right temperament. We need professional fear. We need people who are warriors. We need people who don't get attitude and don't get mad and don't show up no more. He's weeding us of all of the people who don't have the right temperament to be able to stand up against the beast, because we're coming up against the beast. In love and understanding, we are sincerely coming up against the beast, and we need everyone's participation. And I don't know if I told you or not, but there was a young man on our show, I think it was last week. That young man emailed me so much information, and if you are on the show, I don't know what your phone number is, but I just want to tell you thank you so much for all of the information that you emailed me. I have so many books and PDFs and everything that I need. We need people like that to say, hey, I'm willing to do it. Here's the information so you can study it, so you can teach it, give it out about sovereignty. All kinds of information. These are the things that we are looking for in our nation. We have people out here that are educated, people that are smart. We need you. We need you. We need warriors. We need you. Anybody want to push one? Because me and Adonia, I don't want to be the only one on here having a conversation. Please push one. We would love to hear from you if you have a comment. You know what I found out today? That they are recruiting 100,000 people, Adonia, 100,000 people to go to have a one-way ticket to Mars, to be able to live on the planet Mars and there and never come back. How crazy is that? That's crazy that they are living on the planet Mars and a one-way ticket. Now, they're letting you know you will not be allowed to come back. And they give you so much food to be able to live up there that they are trying to colonize the planet Mars. Critical. These are things that are unheard of. And it reminds me of the movie Total Recall. I don't know if anybody remembers that when Arnold Schwarzenegger and them was up there. They are doing the things that they showed us on the television. 100,000 people. They said by the year 2022, they are going to send up 100,000 people to Mars and to be able to live up there and take a one-way ticket so you won't be back. And all, guess what? All you have to do is be 18 years of age, and it only is going to only cost you $38 for the application fee. How crazy is that? Unbelievable. I've never heard of anything such. These people are doing some seriously diabolical stuff. They are sending people to Mars to live. Unreal. And again, if you have a question, a comment, or a concern, or you want to talk about something in particular, if you want to give Israel some information, something you may have found out, something that you may want to talk about, please push one and we'll get you right on the line so we want to hear what you have to say. We have a lot of people on this line, and like I said, there's a lot of things going on with us as a nation, building our nation, putting our nation together. We will be passing out identification cards at the march and demonstration, membership cards. We're going to be passing out literature to people around the Capitol building, letting them know who we are, that we're a nation, that we're doing things as a nation, and we're coming together as a nation, as a nation. We're going to march through the streets of Washington, D.C., and we're going to come together as a nation. We're planning on getting universities around Washington, D.C. and Maryland involved, especially the Black Student Union. We're going to get them involved, as many people as we can, because the area where we're giving the demonstration holds 38,000 people. We would love to fill that area with 38,000 people. Love to. So, you know, those are the things that we're doing. We're trying to keep everybody together in terms of how we're going to manage this and how we're going to put it together. We need people in different states to say, hey, I'll help organize in my state, or I'll help organize in Florida, or I'll help organize in Atlanta, or I'll help organize in South Carolina. You know, and when we say organize, all we're saying is this: everybody's going to need transportation. And if people want to get there by way of van, and they want to, because when we have our website up, we're going to ask questions like, do you need transportation? What state are you needing it in? If you say South Carolina, then we'll have as many people that want to come from South Carolina to go to Washington, D.C., to put that information on the website. And if you're our contact person in South Carolina, we'll have the van service and everything set up, and then we will have them contact you to let them know where we're going to be moving out from and how we're going to be doing it. We are trying to get this as organized as possible. So we need everybody's help, as many people that will be willing to come together to help, because they're still killing our people. They're still shooting our children down. They're still murdering our men. They're killing them with impunity. They're not even, nothing's happening to them. So we have got to do something to get our people woke up, to let them know, hey, we need to become conscious of where we are, what we're doing. We need to organize neighborhood watches, just like Zimmerman was on, because we can do those things. Those things we can do while we're in captivity. And if anybody has any other ideas that they want to bring to the table, please push one. How can we make our place safe while we're here yet in this captivity, to the point where they're not shooting us down like animals? Anybody have a question? Anybody have a comment? Anything? We need to know something. Will somebody speak up? I mean, how do we do this? Because I know we have men and women on this line together, and the women usually do most of the talking, so we want to hear from the men. How do we make this happen? What are some of the things that we can do to make sure our neighborhoods are safe? Because, I mean, Chicago has become the murder capital of the world, of the United States. It's terrible. Anybody have, Brother Donnie, are you there? I think he might have put his phone on mute. They are killing people in Chicago so rapidly that it is scary, that these are the things that are happening.
It's the murder capital of the world. They had, the United States is the murder capital of the world, because they had 5,000 murders since the time of that Sandy, 5,000 murders. And 2,000 were done by drive-bys and murders like that, you understand? So the United States is really in big trouble here, and when the United States is in big trouble, we are in bigger trouble, you understand? Because we suffer in all of those things, you understand? Like I said, if they cut off all of these programs from the government programs, and they're going to do that, you understand? We're the ones that are going to suffer through this here. So we got to pick what we're going to do here to save our souls, to save our children. You understand? That's what we got to be worried about, man. You know, some of us has already reached the age like myself. You understand that there's a limited amount of things that I would like to do. You understand? But our children have a whole lifetime ahead of them. You understand? So we got to start putting things together so that we can save our children. You understand?
That's the truth. I mean, you know, and Brother Donnie, you know what? I really appreciate you being here and holding it out, holding it down with me. You know, and I see Brother Yaakov is on here, and it's beautiful to have you here, brother. And we really do. We need some ideas. I mean, how do we make ourselves safe while we're in our community from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to be safe from ourselves. We can't even get to the government yet, because if we go to the government and say, well, hey, we got a problem, they're killing us, the first thing going to come out of their mouth is, well, y'all killing each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So how do we do that? How do that is the question that I'm going to bring to the panel of everyone that's on the line. How do we stop the killing? How do we get a hold of our young people and stop it? Or do we stop? Do we stop it or do we let it continue?
One thing I'm trying to find get us to understand is that the Almighty is our higher power. You understand? And if we the people that understand Him to be our higher power, if we came together like this march here, you understand? If we came together and we called on the Most High with all our heart and all our souls, you understand? The Almighty will show His favor, and He will make things. He will help us to put these things in place. You understand? Now, like I said, man, there is no waving of no wand, and overnight this thing gonna be all right. It's not gonna happen like that. But we gotta try to start doing something. You understand? So that the process will get started. You understand? The process of us showing our children a different, under, you know, we can be seen under a different light here. You understand? We can be seen that they take care of one another. They do, they're supporting, we got to support these things so that other nations, we supposed to be a light unto the other nations. These things will not happen, you understand, if we call on the Most High with all our heart and all our soul, you understand, and be willing. The heart got to be willing for the restoration of Israel. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I see Brother Dawid is on the line. Brother Dawid, I'm glad that you chimed in with us, and maybe you can add some insight to it. How do we stop the killing of each other? What do we need to do as a community? Because we're forming as a nation, and the whole purpose for the Yehuda Project is to build the bridge between the Hebrew man, the Hebrew woman, the Hebrew children, to create a Hebrew family, and to encourage and enlighten our Hebrew community. And from there, we build a nation. But we can go to the government and say, stop shooting out. We need you to file laws or implement laws where the police just can't open fire on a man and empty their clips like they had a firing range and just overkill. We need to stop all of that. But then we can go to them and say that, but then they'll say, well, you guys are killing each other. So how do we do that? Anybody have a comment? What do we do to stop all of the killing? What do we do? What are some? I mean, I know, like I said, we have the neighborhood watch. We can bring in the neighborhood watch, but then how do we stop that from turning into a gang conglomerate? Because we don't want to create gangs. We want people out there that are willing to say enough is enough. What do we do? Somebody give me a suggestion as to what we need to do. Please push one as we gather together as a nation, because we have to be able to make our own community safe. Anybody have a comment? Hold on. I got Brother Dawid here. Brother Dawid, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just called in.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I heard the last end of that. You say, what could we do to stop the killing?
Yeah, from within ourselves, because our neighborhoods are going to, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I hate to say this, but I had to encounter a funeral last week of a young man. He was 31 years old. They shot him 6 times.
Yeah.
31 years old, gone.
Well, you know what?
What do we do?
This is a really complicated issue, but at the same time, it's tragic, you know. But we have to understand what's going on here, though. I mean, we got to understand what's really happening. We are slated for genocide, okay? And we have to know why this is happening in the community. We have to understand our history in the United States of America, and our history you know, in Africa, and why we are killing ourselves and why we are being killed. The ball was set in motion for us to kill ourselves. It's not like this is ingrained in us as a people, because if we are supposed to be the people of Ayah, if we are supposed to be loving, caring people, then why are we killing each other at this rate? You know, that's a disconnect, right? It's a contradiction,
right?
Isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
So we have to go back and see what's going on here. We have to first look at the crack that's being put in the neighborhoods. Okay. Now, this is something that we all know about now, but it's a fact that this has happened. This is something that is happening to us purposely. It's like they set this in motion a long time ago, because during the 70s, when we started to have the Black Power movements and we started to come together and unify and started to realize what was happening to us, they had to make sure that we would kill ourselves and destroy our unity. Because in unity, there is power. Now, what I believe, I think that we would have been together a long time ago. I think this world would have been a lot safer and problems would have been solved if Black people would have got together. We were getting together. We just have to look at history. We were tainted by white supremacy. Now, that's not just some word speaking the Black Power. No, this is a fact, you know. We have to know our history. Because if we don't know our history, we're going to keep repeating it and not solve the problem that's happening here today. Okay? Now, we have to really analyze what's really going on here. Now, why are we killing us? Why are we killing each other? What's going on? Well, first of all, we have to stop falling for the okie doke, as they say, and start to realize that they don't have to kill us anymore because we're doing it. We have the abortions our women are aborting our children. We're killing each other from gang wars. It's just perpetual now. Okay. If we stop and we start to analyze ourselves and start to make a rule that we will not criticize or destroy any of our brothers and sisters, if we start to just start to consciously start doing that somehow and start spreading that around ourselves, and then we start to come together as a people, start to unify economically, educationally, and spiritually. Okay. Now, we can do it, but first we have to start talking to each other. We have to start communicating and realize that other races, we have the Chinese, the Japanese, the Italians, the Irish, the Swedish, the Danish, the Russians, you name it. They all have unity that they can just get together and work it out. We can't do that. Okay? We can't do that. We're split between Hebrews and Christians and Moors and Muslims and Nation of Islam, Muslims, and then we have the, you know, we're split up. But we have to somehow come together from something. We need to create like a ceasefire, okay? Some type of ceasefire. Don't kill any more brothers and sisters. And we need to start to set policy, I know I'm just rambling.
Let me ask you a question, though. No, because this is good. Those are the things that we will bring together as a nation and bring those into play. But do you think that coming into the knowledge, because for me, coming into the knowledge of who I was as a Hebrew Israelite gave me the respect for myself that I needed. And where I used to wonder, man, why is it that Black people are having it so hard? And, man, why they hate us so much? And now that I know why we're having it so hard and why they hate us so much, I wouldn't dare do anything to hurt my brother. Do you think that the knowledge of nationality would change it at all?
Yeah, of course. Let me tell you something, sister. When I found out who we are as a people, I started to do research, looking in Africa, looking in all these different, without the United States, and my heart grew really heavy, you know. I got broadcast that I'm literally just crying on the air because of what's happening to the people in Yemen, because I see in their eyes my brothers and sisters over there, right? I'm reading a book called The Destruction of Black Civilization. I'm on like the page 150, and I'm reading how they're finding out that how they found out that the black civilizations are being destroyed by the Europeans in Egypt, and we are confused on our history right there. Now, to get back to what you were saying, if the scriptures state, okay, and we have to start to come together on this, and this is where we're really confused at. We are, as Hebrews, the first thing we have to do, and this is very important, is we have to separate our history from the European history, okay?
Right.
Because
right.
Their Hebrew history has been intertwined with our Hebrew history. Now, that seems confusing. But what that means is that we have to understand history. 200 B.C., the Edomites or the Greeks, whatever you want to call them, intertwined themselves with our history. In Egypt, they intertwined ourselves with our history. They have always intertwined ourselves with our history because we wrote ours down. They used our spirituality in order for them to create the religions that we see. And because we don't have any power, they have the power to write it and keep it there. And then when we discover it, okay, we are separated because what we're doing is we're taking on their practices and not understanding how to separate between what theirs is and what ours is. And then we have certain brothers and sisters that have knowledge that are higher than ours, okay, because they study in different areas. They look at us and they criticize the Hebrews because they think we're ignorant to our history, but we're not. It's just that everybody needs to come together. Like I always say, put our information on the table.
Hallelujah.
And take what it is that we need from what they stole and make ourselves powerful people once again. Now, in scriptures, it states that there is a powerful group of people that understand the name of Ayah, and they that spirit of Ayah lives within us, and we will be the light of the world. Why is that? Because we understand, we have that connection with the Father. We're not going to build oil wells and burn up and destroy the toxic and destroy this earth with all this toxic crap.
That is correct.
This is what the European does because he does not know the Creator. He
that
stole
is correct.
Our concept of the Creator and destroyed our world and hijacked our Ayah. But because we are arguing, we don't see ourselves here. We are recently seeing ourselves here as Hebrews, but because we don't know how to separate ourselves from the European, we're making mistakes. We're arguing with each other. We got to stop that. We need to come together as a nation, mature individuals, make an agreement to stop killing each other, first of all, and then come together. If not, we're just going to be wiped out. That's fact. We have no other choice. We have no other choice.
Okay, but that sounds beautiful. That's beautiful what you just said, and I agree with you 100%. But guess what? We can't even get people to donate a dollar. We are talking about people who have been conditioned and institutionalized. I was talking to someone last week about being institutionalized, and it doesn't have anything to do with prison because most of the time they say prisoners are institutionalized. But guess what? Our whole nation of people have become institutionalized with the institutions of the beast. I mean, because it defines who you are for some people. What they have defines who they are. Where they live defines who they are. What they have accomplished defines who they are. And what they wear defines. These are the small things that really shouldn't matter. Nothing should be put above nationality. But because people refuse, they refuse to let go and say, hey, okay, those things are nice, and I'm not telling anybody to give up their home or to give up anything or even to give up their job, but that's not what defines you. What defines you is bloodline.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And people, and we can't even get them to donate a dollar.
Let me tell you this story one time, man. You know, my brother is, he was, before he passed away, he was, you know, people used to know him. He used to speak at most of the conferences that goes around. And my sister passed away. We couldn't even get enough money to bury her. You understand? Out of all the people that my brother knew, you understand? And my sister was part of Israel, too. She was not as renowned as he is. He was. But he was. They didn't know her. And from the little congregation that we have, we couldn't get enough money to bury her. You understand? So we know that Israel is slow to kick in any money. They slow to getting involved. You understand? But my whole premise here is to try to get us to come together on something that we know that we need. We need groceries. So if we can start doing that, the Almighty will step in. He's always stepped in. It was when Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, the Almighty stepped in. That means to me that something had to happen with Israel themselves. Somebody had to do something, and then the Almighty will step in. He will step in, and he will allow us to come together and put the paperwork and all of that stuff that they have, put it on tape in a council, you understand, so that we can talk about these things and find out what the Almighty has in store for us and which way we should go. He's always shown us, you understand, throughout all the scriptures on what we should do. And like you said, it'll come through people. People got to make the move. If we don't make no move, we're going to become
extinct.
We're going to become extinct. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because it's all about people. It's all about us doing what we're supposed to do. You understand? And I want to tell you, man, it's not going to happen overnight, because it's going to take us to keep talking about it, keep put things in place. The reason why these brothers and sisters and people, our children are getting shot up and killed and murdering one another is because we don't have nothing to give them an alternative.
That's right.
You know, we have to start putting things in place. You understand? It's not going to be no overnight poof. It's not going to be that. It's going to take work. It's going to take Moses. He worked himself to death. You understand? He didn't give up. He gave out. You understand? So we got to do the same. We got, this is a very good venue. It gives us an opportunity to come up with some solutions here. You understand?
Uh-huh.
But it's not just coming up with the solutions. It's moving on those solutions. Now, the United Nation of Israel, they got a program. We might want to take a hard look at that program. You understand? See whether it fits, see if it makes sense. You understand what I'm saying? We always been a people with sense. You understand? We just don't practice a damn thing. You understand what I'm saying? We don't commit to anything.
Let me say something, brother, though, because I don't want to be so hard on this. You know what I'm saying? Look, I study history. That's all I do is study history. I just read all the time. And I have to tell you something. We have been coming together. We have been trying. But we have this one little thing that keeps destroying us. It's called FBI, CIA, European, fighting against our unity because they hold all our resources. Let me tell you something. If we were to come together, the United States, as a people, and we, you know, start to really motivate and start to organize and start to get really strong, we have trillions of dollars in the United States that we can utilize to build radio stations and broadcast and build an economy and trade within each other. We can have such a powerful, strong, proud community. Then what would happen? Within five years or so, we would start traveling back and forth to Africa, and we would start opening up a trade with Africa, and we would start to teach them about things. They would teach us about things. Before you know it, we would unify, and then we would start to politically fight the resource grab that's going on in European. At the end of the day, you have to understand, this is all about economics. The reason why we cannot get together in the United States is because every time we do, they destroy it. That's just a fact. You got to look at history.
Mm-hmm. Let me speak to you. And listen, I don't undermine anything that you're saying. I agree with a lot of that, what you're saying. But I believe in the Almighty. I believe
Brother, listen.
Wait. I
don't believe in Almighty.
Hear me out first. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I believe that they can't do nothing to us if we deal honestly and truthfully with the Almighty. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, the Almighty is our God. You know, they deal with science, the Almighty Trump science. All of that stuff that they come up with, you understand? I mean, that will not have anything to do. It won't have it won't hurt us one iota. You understand what I'm saying? If we honestly work with the Almighty and let Him and do it in the name of Yah, you understand? Do it under the auspices of our God, our Elohim. You understand what I'm saying? But if we're gonna be faint-hearted when we put them people in there talking about what they can do. You understand what I'm saying? The only reason that we have not been able to accomplish anything is because we truly don't put our faith in the Almighty. You understand? But the sooner somebody comes up with one of those little schemes, we go to the other side. So we need to stop doing that. We cannot afford to do not one thing that is going to be contrary to the Almighty Yah's law. Hallelujah.
Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's just time. We've been gathering before, and we've tried to come together before. I mean, Marcus Garvey tried it back in the day, and Malcolm X tried to bring some things together back in the day. And maybe let's err on the side of caution. Maybe we're saying that it's just time now, because as we're moving closer toward our exodus out of here, that things are starting to happen. And my response to all of it is that we have to get the people to realize that before Yah can bless us or Ayah can bless us, we have to get up and move.
Mm-hmm.
We can't sit stagnant and wait and say, okay, well, I'm gonna see whether or not they kill y'all. If y'all don't die and you come back from Washington, then well, yeah, maybe. No, it's time for everybody, because they're going to present an element of risk. There's going to be a risk involved anytime you, because their job is to punk us out and make us be afraid to move.
Mm-hmm.
But we gotta have people to say, no matter what happens, like the three Hebrew boys, we ain't bowing down. You know, and if you can throw us in the, you can do whatever you want to do. And if he delivers us, he does. But if he don't, he's still able. I mean, we gotta have warriors to be able to say, whatever happens, we going down. If we gotta go down, we gonna go down. But we ain't bowing down.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Okay, listen.
And that's the issue that we run into, Brother Dawid, is when we start doing stuff like this with the people. I think it's political. It may even be gender related, and I don't know whether it's because I'm a girl or because I'm organizing this thing, but I was mandated to do this. And I don't have an issue, because I understand protocol. I understand protocol. Believe me when I tell you I understand protocol. But while I also understand commission. And when the Most High tell you to do something, it would behoove you to get up and do it. Because only I'm going to have to stand and give an account for what I didn't do. Nobody else on this phone will be able to do that. So I'm not trying to make brownie points. I'm not trying to puff myself up. I'm just saying it to the nation of Israel as a whole, it is time for us to put our beer money aside, our club money aside, our gym shoe money aside, our clothing money aside, and all of the money you use for your whiskey and your beer and your Cavassier and all your weed and all your stuff, because some of y'all smoke weed, and if that's what you do, that's what you do. And well, however you do it, it's time to put that money aside, because now it's time for us to unite.
Hallelujah. Let's just assume, and I hate to even assume, but if we, how many people we got on this line? If everybody sent $1, if they have 20, if there's, I mean, not 20, all the people that called the line in the last 20 weeks, I say, you understand? If mm-hmm. they were to send $1, you understand?
Yeah.
I think you said it was about 20,000?
Yeah, we got about 19,000 people.
If they
send
$1, you understand, we'll have $19,000. $1.
Yeah.
Just $1. So if we can get somebody to commit, or 20,000 people to commit per month to send $1, you understand, that money will accumulate faster than you can imagine. Then we can start moving towards building, I mean, affording some of those things that we say that we need. You understand? Like groceries.
Or helping our people, because it's a lot of single mothers out there that are struggling. It's a lot of single parents out there that are struggling, that can't pay their gas and electric bills, can't pay their water bill, need help.
But, Gavera, I mean, but see, the thing is that those people that send that $1 is the ones that get a chance to vote on what we spend that money on. You understand
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? This way, we got a nation of people working together. You understand? Now they can be of any denomination, whether they black Muslims or however, if they have a vote on what we spend that money on. Now just send $1. That's all. You understand? Now we got $19,000 this next month. Then next month we'll work on another 19. You understand? Before we know it, we'll have enough money to support these things. You understand? That we say we need. You understand? We need to grab these youth today. We need to set up a international or state by state community center. Bring all these kids in there, man. Give them something to do. You understand what I'm saying? Show them that, man, you know, they can be productive members in the United Nations of Israel. I mean, these things can happen if they just send $1. Imagine what they
and
do if they send $5.
All right, can I say something?
Come see.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to get back to what we were talking about before. Before we start sending dollars, first we got to come together. Before we got to come together, we got to figure out why we can't come together. And what we were talking about before is that the reason why is because we all need to come under Ayah, come under Yah. Now, I understand that completely, 100%. And we have to understand that when we were Christians, we thought we were coming together under Jesus Christ. And we believe that wholeheartedly. And we believe that, and we tried it, and we did it, and it was destroyed. Not because we didn't have faith. It was destroyed because of outside influence. The same thing is going to happen when we do it under Ayah, unfortunately. Now, what we need to do is we need to educate ourselves on why it's being destroyed. And we all have to have some really intelligent, well-planned individuals that can do this right. Now, I mean, before we even start collecting dollars, we got to actually have something, you know, on paper or something organized. We shouldn't even be talking about this on Blog Talk, really. Because we shouldn't even be giving our plans out in the air like this. We should just come together, start making sure that we have laws in place that they can't destroy what we're trying to build. We need to start putting together some lawsuits for things that they have done to us in the past, like the crack cocaine in the neighborhood, and that is a serious crime that they did to us. We need to put these people on the defensive instead of having us on offense all the time. I mean, I'm for finding some lawyers and some people that really want to start doing some serious fighting back here. And then we start to come together. And then we do it, of course, under Ayah. Do it under Ayah. You tell the lawyer, look, we believe in the Creator. So this is our stipulation. But as we believe in the Creator, how can we sue the CIA for destroying the neighborhood with this crack cocaine? And then when we start to have some muscles behind ourselves, then we can start, people can see that, wow, these people are really fighting. Then we can start collecting, you know, established people that really have the money to back us. Somebody like a Will Smith or an Oprah Winfrey or somebody that actually has money that understands at a high level what's going on but can't do nothing because they're individuals. Like, think about the movie. Will Smith did a movie Afterlife, right? They called it nepotism. They called it they destroyed his film. I saw the film. It had a very positive story to it. Talked about fear. Was him guiding his son. It was all black film. Beautiful. They destroyed it because they cannot take that kind of power in Hollywood. Now, y'all know that's the truth. Oprah Winfrey gets her own network owned. They try to destroy that. You see? But we're like fragmented, trying to survive out here in an establishment that is not our people. We need to start to come together under Allah and using our power to start saying, okay, we need to work on this particular issue right here. We get it, we pick an issue, put our weight behind that issue, and then we go for it. Like one with the brothers down in the Caribbean asking for reparations. Why don't we join their struggle? If Ayah's in that struggle, reparations, hey, that's a big fight right there.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a good idea. And that's the reason why we are collecting the money, Brother Dawi, is for the march. I mean, you know, a lot of people can't make it. A lot of people won't be able to make it. But if you can't make it, you know, at least you'll have a contribution. And when we like, so we said $1, people spend that at McDonald's every day. And I have somebody from the chat room saying that people can't afford to pay their bills. They don't have a dollar to spend. Well, if you don't have it, you can't spend it. But there are a lot of people that do have it, that can afford to spend it. Well, I mean, because like you said, when we was in church, I know for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but I gave thousands of dollars because I was under the misconception that if I gave, that he was going to give back unto me. And I'm not saying that I'm not blessed and I don't have the things that I need, because the Most High has been very, very, very good to me. But my thing is, when I felt like I could obligate him to something because of something I gave to the church, I was all the way in. But now when there's nothing that you can say that can obligate him and you're doing it just because you want to be supportive, people don't want to give. I mean, I gave tens of thousands of I've always been my own business owner. For everybody who doesn't know, I've always owned my own business. I've been a business owner for almost 30 years. I've always had my own business, and I have done very well for myself in the terms of a business. So when they were talking about 10%, tithing and different things like that, a lot of times that was $5,000 a month. That was a lot of money. You're talking about a lot of money, giving a lot of money. That's a lot of money when you start talking about the money that you make. So and when you give the church that kind of money, or you give the church $1,200 or $2,000 for the money that you've made for the month, then come on. I mean, for us to ask people to give a dollar,
I know,
sister, you're getting real upset at that, and I can hear it. But do you know what?
I just want my money back, Brother Dawi. I just want my money back, because you know what I said, when you figure out that you've been lied to, and I didn't have to pay somebody $10, I want my money back.
Yeah, it's just a passion that you understand that we exhibit when we start talking about this subject. You understand? And, I get passionate and I raise my voice too, man, but I love my people, man. That's why I'm talking so much on this line here. I have never talked this much in all my life, you understand, since the time that my relative said that I made a drastic change.
This is my suggestion, okay?
Go ahead.
I don't want to cut you off, brother.
Go right ahead.
I'm going to lose my thought. Okay, now we were in an established religion. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Within
mm-hmm.
that established religion, there was a system that was set in place for the preacher to collect funds in order to make sure that that establishment is maintained. Right?
Yeah.
What's happening with the new Hebrew movement is we're fragmented. We're all over the place. Okay, somebody has to start an establishment. Someone has to start get a church or a temple, whatever. Same, set it up with the same structure as the Christian faith is set up, but you set it up, you teach the same thing, but teach it correctly. Teach the people right. Give them a place where they can go. Rent out a building. Start having lessons. Start having Bible studies. Start having speakers to come. And then you say, look, you have to set up your tithe. Set up your 10%. Then when people start to have that going, then you use that as a springboard to set up a march or a business. And then as people start to come in and start to build in, and then you're building that community under Ayah at the same structure as the Christian, but now you have a new type of establishment that's starting to be built. And that's the way that you do it, because we are already trained that way. So then we just take that training and bring it towards the new way of the structure.
Well, see, I don't have a problem with opening up. I do have a problem with opening up and doing it that way. It's because what happens is that we become a cult. You understand? That's how most of these that's how most of these congregations have sprung up. You understand? They didn't want to do it the way somebody else was doing it, so they started opening up under the name of Yah. They started opening up their own different organizations. I'm not, you know, what I'm trying to get here is to get away from that. See, we all, most of us understand what the scriptures have said. Most of us, you understand. Some of us are sitting on the fence, and some of us, you understand, are skeptical. But, you know, what I'm trying to get everybody to understand, and don't get me wrong, man. I don't know everything, and every time I open my mouth, everything that I say might have some holes in it. But I believe in truth and honesty that we as a nation can fix anything that we start in the name of the Almighty. See, we have to be able to do it in the name of Yah, under the name of Yah, and all our commitments got to be about the Almighty. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we can make these things happen, and the Almighty will show us how we can do these things. Remember, now, with all the captivities that we ever been in, we built their captivity up. You understand? We built this United States up from the White House to the outhouse. You understand what I'm saying? And so I know that we can, if we did it in the name of the Almighty, we will prevail. Now, the Christians, Muslims, black African nationalists, you understand, they all had little facets of things that would work. You understand? But because it was not done in the name of Yah, in the name of the Almighty, you understand what I'm saying? It never was established. And when it's established, it's world-renowned. Everybody know that the United Nations of Israel is established. And it'll be established under the name of Yah. Now, one more thing, and I'm going to shut my mouth. Just everybody could send $1 to $2, you understand, to the treasury, to the PayPal account, you understand? And then we can make some kind of movement. But if we sit back and do nothing, we're doing the same thing that we've been doing. Nothing. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's the truth. I mean, you know, and I appreciate everybody again. We don't want to be the only talkers. We're having a good conversation. But please push one if you have a comment, a question, or a concern. You know, because I don't believe in beating a dead horse. I really don't. And the difficult part for me is to understand, you know, and I got a lot of people that are tweeting me right now, and one of the guys said the reason why they won't give is because they brainwashed, and the reason why they won't participate is because they believe that white people are in control or the white power is in control. But, you know, we, like he said, we can get online, and if you got on television, and he said if a white woman had cancer and she got on television for a charity or to put some money on there, they would give money to it. If the pastor got up and started telling everybody, hey, you know, we're going to get something in return. The Lord told me you're going to be rich if you give some money, and you watch and see if you don't get this money back, people would do it. We're coming in honesty. We were trying to do this march. We're going to do this march. And somebody told me
Stop begging the people. If we have 50 people, us 50 people are going to march through the streets of Washington, D.C., and we're going to proclaim who we are as a nation. Like I said, there's a whole lot of things that are going on that you guys don't know about because we don't put it over the air. But there's a lot of powerful things happening right now, and we're just trying to get the participation of the nation, of our people, to not be scared. If you can afford it, come with us. If you can't afford to make the trip, support us financially so we'll have what we need so that we can do what we have to do, because we're not afraid to stand up and say who we are. And you're right, Brother Dawee. They putting crack in the neighborhoods now. And guess what's back now? That dog food is back. People are honestly now doing heroin. And you know what? When I was a kid, young in the 70s, heroin was out tough back in then. And I'm looking at these young people now, and they have put the dog food back on the market. People are using heroin again. And it's like, what in the world is going on? They are, like you said, it's a deliberate plan to take us out. It's a deliberate plan to take us out.
Yeah. You know what you said? You said that we must, what I'm hearing is that we must proclaim the name of our King, whom the sun does shine and the winds sing. Yehovah is our sun and shield. Who then could master us? When I say proclaim the name of our King, is that we have to stand for Yah. We got to stand in the name of Yah. All our doings got to be of the Almighty. You understand? And that means that the Almighty will bless our hand. He will show us favor. So we got to do this. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You understand? We can stand on the side in the middle of the road. You understand? There is no gray area when it comes to the Almighty, period. So we got to stand on him and do the laws and statutes and ordinances and commandments. Hallelujah.
You know, but we've been brainwashed. We are people. We can't be damaged anymore. And we want you guys to know we love you sincerely. And we're not here to do any damage of any kind. We're just trying to give everybody. This whole show is designed to give people a voice. And
look here, the brainwashing, you understand, came in when we lost the understanding of the Almighty in those 2,000 years that we spent in captivity. So I don't blame anybody. I don't, you know, because to stop that pain, you understand, of being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered, you understand, I probably would have latched on to anything, too. So the indoctrination is deep. You understand what I'm saying? And it's going to take some doing. It's going to take some examples on our part. We're going to have to stand on those accomplishments that we make. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, coming together is just a small facet in what necessarily needed. You understand? But we can work it all out because we are the people of the Almighty.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question. And I'm glad I got the men on the line today because I want to ask a question. A question came across my desk this week, and it was asked to me, what do we do when the homosexuals want to come into Israel and want to be Israel? Now, I know that they tell me there are, Israel does have men that are trying to be homosexuals, but as a nation of people, how do we handle that?
I could talk on that.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
All right. Well, my issue about homosexuality is I don't think it's natural. Okay. As a man, I'm really very turned off from it. Okay. And if people want to do that, I'm not the person to be like, you know, if you want to do it, that's your thing. Now, if you want to come to you want to come to Ayah, right? And you want to say, okay, I want to believe and I want to be within this new spiritual movement, all right? But I want to bring my boyfriend with me, and you're a man.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
I personally I don't believe that they're sincere in their heart when they say that to me. I would think they're joking with me with that. Because they understand that if if nature is to continue, right?
Right.
Nature cannot continue with two male seeds. Nature continues with a male seed with a womb. And then that produces an offspring. And that offspring will guarantee that life will keep going on. That's the basis of humanity, right?
That's correct.
How can that happen if two men say they want to basically honor the father, but not do the work to honor the father as two men or two women?
Okay, now let me interject in there real quick. And I see you 111. I'm going to come to you right now. As soon as we make this point, I'm getting ready to open up your mind. The reason why I say that is this. Because as we begin to build this nation and people become conscious as to who they are, do you not think that it is our responsibility to teach them first? Because what's going to separate us from them, and when I say them, the beast system, and when we begin to build our nation, is over there with their laws, that's permitted. They even permit it in the church. I've seen a YouTube clip where the man married the man, and he was instead of having the first lady, he was the first man, and people went to his church, and all of this under the guise of Christianity, and it was the first time where that had actually been done, and it was a pastor and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, when you sit down and you think about it, our law says that if a man lay with a man the way he lay with a woman, he should be put to death. So now we have a conflict here, because the laws that we live under captivity is now saying that it's okay for them to do that. But as we gather as a nation under the laws of the Most High, it says you're supposed to die. So I'm going to get back with you, Brother Dawee. You give me 1 minute, and then I want you to comment, and then I'm going to open up the mic for area code 111. 1 minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brother Dawee.
All right. Well, we understand. This is a very, very large globe, and there's a lot of people on this globe, right? If you have a congregation B, let's say congregation B, and then we have the congregation of Vaya. Congregation B says you can come in with your man and your woman or whatever, and you guys can have your homosexual affair. And he's cool with that. Well, let them be cool with that over there. Here under Ayah, this is a community. This isn't just people that believe in the Creator. These are people that are trying to build a community under the law of the Creator and trying to reestablish ourselves as a strong nation. We cannot reestablish ourselves as a strong nation with homosexuality. We can't do it. So within that community, as a person in that community, I can't handle that. I wouldn't even want to be a part of it. Now,
well,
you may think they may think I'm wrong for that. I don't care. That's how I feel. I think it should be over in that community that accepts it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, you understand, abomination to the Almighty. You understand? If we're going to do the laws and statutes and ordinances and commandments of the Almighty, that we're going to have to leave out. You understand? Period. You understand? We cannot have that at all. You understand? We're supposed to be weeding out wickedness and evilness from amongst us. That is factual. Hallelujah.
Okay, hold on. I'm opening up the mic. Area code 111. Go ahead. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, you're welcome.
Shalom.
Oh, God. I just wanted to say, because I was listening to your show, and it got crazy, yo. I think the saddest part of the show was when you guys started asking for help. Why? I learned my lesson from that. I used to have a Blog Talk Radio account, and I tried to do the same thing. It ain't work, because if you start asking for money from people, especially African-American people, like, they will tune you out, shut you off, close every door, you know, lock every window, and just walk away. Like, you really have to show them. Like, you have to, you know, set an example, give an example, and let it go from there. Because if you just say, if you could donate a dollar or two, they say, you know what I mean? They already got that one set black and white perception of our people and themselves anyway. So if you try to say, oh, we're willing to change, black people, they're not susceptible to change. If they hear the word change in the category of anything, they shun it, they'll run. The only people that can change them in their minds are white people. especially the masses in the United States today. They're all brainwashed. They're all followers. You know, if you were a hip-hop artist and you were bringing out, like, somebody like Call Lil Zane or something, you say, oh, like his page, everybody will follow because you rap. You're famous. Set an example. People follow you. But you are unknown right now. You have no name. You don't have any advertisements. People don't know you. People, they're not familiar with you. And you're coming out and you're asking them for money. Only thing that's going to make them do is not give it to you. You got to give them something. You got to say, okay, you know, like our page, or, you know, I'm going to spit this fat poem for y'all real quick. I'm going to make y'all feel something. Like my page, or, you know, you get more of this and many more. I'll perform. As a matter of fact, don't even say anything of Mission Church in 2013 with black people, because nowadays everybody going in every different direction except God. You know, everybody trying to follow God over the years, and it feel like it's seldom. So now they're trying something new. So if you're coming at them spiritually and you mention, you know, the higher power is something spiritually or something above them, then now you got their attention, because you're not mentioning come to church and dump all your money into a plate, because that's going to turn them off too. That's going to make them run too, because they see the money transfer from a hand into a bowl. They like, yo, I'm broke now. I ain't got no money. I just gave it all to church, and I feel empty inside. I mean, I felt good in church, but I come home, now I can't pay my light bill. Now I can't get a pack of smokes. Or you know what? Now I can't even get my son lunch for school. I just put it in the collection plate because I wanted to give to God, or I wanted to give to the church. The church is ruled by banks. Everything in America, in the United States, in every corner is owned by banks. If a church don't close, that's because it got a loan from a bank. So this is one thing you got to realize. If you don't give money to a church, they ain't going to miss it. They're going to get a loan from a bank anyway to keep the lights on, to keep the place up, to keep everything running, because banks own everything in America. You know? That's
all right, all right.
You
know? Okay, I mean, did you finish?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Okay, she's done. All right, what you guys got to say about that? She said we got to give them something. What do you think we're giving them? What are we giving them?
Wait. I wanna. What's your name, sister?
Oh, hold on. I muted her because I don't leave the mic open. Okay, sis. Erica 111. He asked, where you calling from? Because we don't do names. What state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Okay, yeah. She's in Philadelphia.
Hello, Philadelphia. I'm calling from Sweden, and I'm Dawid. I don't care. You know my name. I don't care about these people. Look. So you tried this already, and I like your point about how black people don't give money and all this stuff, right? And we are brainwashed. We are very brainwashed people. Now, what is your solution besides just having a like on the page? What do you suggest?
Honestly, I suggest African-American people need to find their own way because they're stubborn. You can't. Don't, like I said before, don't mention change, because the first thing they're going to do is run. They don't like you changing them. One thing African-American people are, they don't like new environments. They don't like anything new unless they trust it. So, I mean, if they've been brainwashed by, you know, media, and media put out a commercial for yogurt and say yogurt to help your digestive system, 15 black people are going to run out and go get the yogurt. Simply because it was a white face on television that told them to go get the yogurt because they trust white people. They've been around white people their whole lives. They've been told by white people so many times what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. You see what I'm saying? So if you come at them and be like trying to do the same thing, they're going to look at you all odd and funny, first of all. And secondly, look, don't tell them nothing. I'm going to tell them nothing. I won't even try to tell them nothing. Let them hit a wall a few times before they learn and realize that you were trying to tell them the whole time, all along. Just keep doing you. Do your own thing. Keep your conduction running, because I'm telling you, when you get hurt and you get bruised and you start to heal, you take time. It's like getting a cut. If you got cut real bad or a gash, you got to take time off the hill. And in that time, you got a lot of things to think about. And a lot of stuff comes to you. You know, a lot of stuff pop up in your mind of what you can do in the meantime while this gash or this broken bone heal and you discover new things. They will discover you. So, I mean, it's not so much as focusing on the people and getting the community right now. We need to be active right now. We need to change all right now. Matter of fact, I would tune them out. I would do this and tune them all out and just be like, look, somebody out there hear me, and when the right time comes, somebody's going to find you. They're going to donate to your program. They're going to keep listening to your shows. And as a matter of fact, they're going to show up at every hearing or every little event that you have, because simply you weren't searching. You weren't reaching for them. You weren't reaching out for them. You kept doing you. And when it's time for them
to realize that what they've been doing their whole lives isn't working for them, and it's time for something new, they'll find you. That's my solution. Do me all the way up until they get that bruise or that gash or they tired of getting bumps and cuts and sitting on a butt and waiting for themselves to heal. Because when you got that solitude and that time alone, you discover new territory. You discover new anyway. And for blacks, it doesn't, to them, a new gash or a deep wound healing doesn't feel like forced change. So over time, they have kind of developed that new environment or venture off into new things and you know, that light bulb clicks and say, you know, this works for me. When all along you were telling them right then and there, it works for you, this works for you, but they're not going to listen. In their own time, they'll listen. They'll come to you in their own time. They're not going to say, okay, well, a black dude on the yogurt commercial said, get the yogurt simply because, you know, the yogurt helps with digestion. But the white girl said, get the yogurt, you know, she's happy, she's smiling, she's in school, she's playing, she's doing sports, da da da. Now they want to be like this chick doing sports and losing weight and getting skinny because she looked happy. You know, they want to go out and go get the yoga. They want to give her $20 because for breast cancer, even though half of that money don't even go to breast cancer, go back to the bank. But they're going to go get it. You know, they're going to go out there and do it because if we brainwash, we're fixated on believing that, you know, if somebody from that complexion or, you know, that level told us that we need to go get the yogurt because the yogurt helps with cutting down on, you know, calories and lowering your cholesterol and all this other stuff. Go get the yogurt, but they don't explain to you what's in the yogurt, what makes you skinny, what could be poisoning you, what could have, you know, side effects and everything. We don't care. We just simply, oh, we're helping, you know, cancer patients because cancer patients, you know, they're sick and they're dying and they're losing their hair. I mean, maybe that is all true, but you got to look at what's behind that. You got to look behind it. If you were African-American and you had cancer, 9 times out of 10, your people are going to, you're going to get a percentage, but not a higher percentage than somebody that was white would if they asked for $1 a week or $1 a month because they have ads, they have the media, they have the radio, they have mass production. They sell it to you. It's in the movies. It's on your cereal boxes, on your milk carton. It's everywhere. It's brainwashing them. It is forcing them to believe that white people should be helped more than black people simply because they have built the audience. They built us to believe that we should have more empathy and sympathize with them because they deserve to be cured of cancer more than we did. So if I was black and I looked at only my black audience and said, okay, look, I have breast cancer. I'm dying of breast cancer. I can't afford to pay my medical bills. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to live within that statistic given to me simply because I didn't have enough money for the last cancer or chemo treatment, simply because they don't give. We don't like to give. If we are being told straight up, give, we're going to ask what for. But if a white dude said, yo, give me $20 right now, I wouldn't even question him. I'll pull out $20 and just hand it to him, not caring where. And I feel so good giving a white boy $20. But if a black boy asked for $20, I would have a whole fucking heart attack. Excuse my language.
Yeah, but that's part of the whole propaganda brainwashing, though. You know, it's
exciting. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right?
And so, but I want to get back to what you said, and I like what you said earlier about saying that we must continue on the path, and basically what I got from it is if you shine the light and the light continues to be bright, people will see it. You know, as long as that light is still shining, regardless on how many bruises you take, if you are still consistent with your message, the message is going to get to the right people, and then the right people will eventually see what you're trying to say and then give you all the support you need.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's exactly.
And that sounds, that sounds really good, but at the end of the day, the scripture tells us to cry loud and spare not. And like we said, we're at the point now where we're rolling up on some real crucial times, and not say that we can change it, because the Most High has to change the minds of the people, and the Most High has to make sure that the people's mind changes around. You know, and when we advertise to people and ask people for stuff, it's not for those who are unconscious, who don't know who they are. We're talking to Israel who do know who they are, and they do know where we are and what we're doing in this time and how crucial this time is. I agree with her 100%. It is. We have been brainwashed, and slavery has left from shackles around our neck to consumerism. Consumerism has become the new slavery because all they do is advertise what they want you to buy. They send you subliminal messages, and we go out and we get the things that they advertise. But we're talking about Israel, the conscious-minded Israel.
Hallelujah.
That knows what's happening and where we are. And though that group, that's our target group. For all of you all who have marketing degrees and you know what it is to have a marketing degree, you have to pick a target group. our target group is conscious Israel, the ones who know. Those are the ones that we are asking for the donations for. We would love to have the participation of the young people, have the mind of the young people, but unfortunately, Jay-Z and them have their mind right now. Unfortunately, Lil Wayne has their mind right now. And the Most High is going to have to do something to wake them up, and she's right. If they're going to have to suffer, they're going to have to really, truly suffer. And I think the biggest suffering that our people are going to have to endure is the fact that they're going to realize that all of the systems that was sold to us and all of the things that was given to us was not given to us because they wanted to do us good. It was given to us because they wanted to keep us distracted and do harm. And I'm going to ask anyone to have a question, a comment, or a concern. Please push one because we would love to hear from you. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Hallelujah. We fell into the illusion. You understand? The snare. You understand? The trap. Every time they come out with the trap, you understand, that divides more people. You understand? So you are absolutely right. We are targeting the ones that proclaim the name of the king, our king. Those are the people that need to step up and just send their dollar. You understand? And even those that are sitting on this phone line right now that are skeptical, sitting on the fence, got that if, ands, buts, or maybes, you understand, send a dollar because their mind will be open later on and they'll already be in the kitty, you understand? They can already make decisions on how that money going to be spent, you understand? Now, I'm talking about that is my platform. My platform is that we can't come together under no ideology, you understand what I'm saying? We all over the page. You understand? If we read Zephaniah from the first chapter to the end of the third chapter, it tells us what we need to do. The scriptures were set aside for us to find out who we are, find a way out this mess. You understand? No, find out who we are, our duties. As when we find out who we are, we have duties, we have understandings that we have laws, statutes, and ordinances, and how to conduct ourselves. Number three is, you understand, find out how to get out of this mess. You understand? It's written in the scriptures. You understand how we can get out of this mess. You understand? Now, the purpose, and the fourth one is that this is all being orchestrated by the Almighty. Once we realize that it's all been orchestrated by the Almighty, He's putting everything in place. This is the closest time that we've come to the time of the Almighty calling His judgment. You understand? And He said in Zephaniah that we should gather ourselves so that we may be hidden in the day of His great anger. So we need to work on these things. And also in that last verse in chapter 3, he said that, you understand, he was going to, the other nations will give us favor and praise. You understand? In the day when he causes the captivity to turn in our eyesight. Hallelujah.
All right, Brother Dawid, you got something to say in response to that?
Yeah, I'm still, like I said, I'm a history buff. And I look back in the captivity. If y'all look on the website, it says slavery by another name, right?
Okay.
And if you look at that, it says that it was in 1945 is when the last slave was freed from the United States. Okay, it's World War II. That means that we had slavery still in the U.S. since the 40s. Okay, now that says a lot. And we got to understand what this is. If we had slavery since the 40s, that means the civil rights is in the 60s, and then the Black Power movement in the 70s, and then the destruction from the outside influences. Now, we are still in that process of building. This is still a process. We're trying to come together, and we're trying to get people to donate. But you know, everybody, like you said, we on heroin, we're on crack, we're smoking way too much weed. I mean, you can't smoke weed. There's medical purposes, but then there's like the overboard, right? We smoke way too much weed. Okay. Then we haven't. We're just out there. we're destroyed right now. But I actually see light at the end of the tunnel, because there's gonna come a point where we're gonna hit this wall, okay? And we're gonna have to start to see what is left standing. And those of us that are able to see each other eye to eye are gonna start to basically come together and then start to unify, because we're gonna have to, just for ourselves, our survival.
Here.
That might
be this time right here. The start might be now.
It might be now, because we're basically coming to the end. They got the peak oil thing going on. They got wars going on. It is really, really bad. It's really bad.
I think we play the Almighty cheap, man. We're talking about the Almighty and His peoples.
Yes.
You understand? Yes. He will preserve us in our day. Whenever anything goes down, if we're doing what we're supposed to do in the name of Yah, He will protect us. Do you understand what I'm really saying?
The three of us are example of that. We talking about it. Look, with all this going on, we still talking about Ayah. See what I'm saying? We still talking about Yahuwah. We still love the Creator with all our heart, soul, minds, and spirit. And ain't giving up.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. I'm taking it to my grave.
I heard that.
And can I make an announcement real quick? Let me make an announcement real quick. We have 9 minutes left before we go into overtime, so if you have anyone who you want to have call in, once we hit 5:30, you can't call in, so we're only going to be on with the callers that we have left, and we still have quite a few callers in. They're just listening. Nobody's really saying anything, and we got area codes from all over the place that are really listening to our conversations. If you have a comment or a question or a concern, please push 1. We'll get you right on so you can make your comment. But again, if you want to be a part of the show for the duration at 5:30, we won't be able to have you call in. So we're asking everyone to call in now. If you have someone you want to hear the show, please have them call in right now, because at 5:30 we go into overtime. And, you know, I think that everything that you guys said is absolutely right. You know, but like I said again, I would love to have a whole college full of young people.
Okay.
I would love to have that group of people come. But before we can do that, the older people have to stand up.
Hallelujah.
I have a solution.
Yes.
Come see.
Okay, now what happened in the 30s? Not the 30s. Yeah, what happened in the 30s and in the 20s is because they had that voyeurism law. You know that law where they would grab us off the street for just being on the street and putting us on the chain gang, working us? Well, that scared black people up north, okay? That was a migration. When we migrated up north, we were able to build communities, and then we started to come up a little bit. Now, what we need to do is we need to actually start another migration. We need to start to pick a place where we all need to go.
Ooh, hallelujah,
Whether it's in North Carolina or Detroit, maybe we can all go to Detroit and try to save Detroit. And then we need to come together, all different people, you know what I'm saying, Moors and Hebrews and whatever. But we all need to pick a place, settle, and start to build our economy. Start to talk together and start to figure out what it is can we do. Do we take this land? Do we build something with it? Whatever. But if we were to do this, if we were to all come together with somebody that's already organized, okay, and decide to migrate somewhere in mass, then we can start to communicate. Then that communication can create miracles. And then Allah will pray
for us. Hallelujah. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
That's definitely a start, and it's definitely, like I said, we're taking solutions right now. So that's definitely a beautiful idea and a thought. And like I said, anyone on the line who has a question, a comment, or a concern, please push 1, because we want to hear from you. I mean, like the young lady said, black people just refuse to give. They don't want to give. They're tired. They've been hurt. They've given.
Don't stand in the way.
And the church has failed them. And, you know, they're saying, forget it, I'm not doing this anymore. Let me say this, this is not a religion. We are a nation. We are building a nation. This is not a religion. We are building a nation, and we are governed by the Torah, which is the laws that were given to our nation. So I have another question for you guys, since we're bringing the question to the board. What happened to the people? Because this is what I found. There's a lot of people out there that believe in a lot of different things. They some people believe they're Hebrews. Some people are coming up under the nation believing that they were created by different deities, but they're wanting to join the nation. Do we allow them to join the nation when they're not serving Allah and they have other deities that they're serving?
Here's a solution to that.
Yeah, because it's just
give you the solution to that.
You communicate.
And the solution is bring your monies up, and it will all come to you, regardless of what you think, because we're dealing with the Almighty. This is His plan, to bring us back up as a nation so that we can be a light and a priest to the other nations. You understand? So this is how the Almighty is working. Everybody, see, we know we're going to have differences. You understand? When you bring your money up, then we'll have the conversation about the differences. But keep bringing your money up so we can support one another. Because everybody that came over there came from that other continent to this one was black. You understand what I'm saying? And didn't know who the hell they were. You understand? So right now we're in the same state. We bring them differences to the table so we can talk to them and keep bringing your money up so that when it come to you, you'll already be in the pot.
Okay, I know how we can make money too.
Well, that's an individual endeavor.
That's
an individual endeavor.
Let me talk, brother. We only got 4 minutes. You heard about biofuel?
Biofuel
is like, no, it's called biodiesel. Biodiesel, right, is in competition with diesel. You can create biodiesel from growing like soybeans, whatever. If we came together and we were able to purchase some type of land by getting a loan or whatever, but nations are already out there, we can start farming land, growing specific biofuel, selling that seed to actually companies. There's a company in Maui that does it right now. We can come together, start a place where we can farm the land. We can put people to work. We could probably get a loan from the bank to get the seed. We can harvest the crop, create the seed, ship it to Maui, and then right there, that's economy growing. And then that right there will help build a nation, because it's an economic base. Then we don't have to beg people for dollars. Or even if we did start begging people for dollars, those dollars would come in for the biofuel project. It's just some idea.
All right, that sounds like a beautiful idea, Brother Donnie. What do you have to say about that idea? Biofuel, getting our biofuel together. I think that's an excellent idea. We get all that stuff going, and then we got something really good going here. I don't know what's going on with his phone, but I can't hear him, so we'll let him
know. Shalom, this is Donnie. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We can hear you.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea, you understand? And I say that you write that up as a proposal, because we want to support things like that, you understand? So that when we get that year's worth of money, that will come up as in the proposal, you understand? And those are the things that we'll vote on, you understand, as to how we're going to spend that money, you understand? So I might be talking a lot on the subject, and I'm sorry that I'm interrupting like this here, but I'm just trying to give us some food to work with here, something that we can really, really latch our teeth into. And those are good proposals, you understand? But right now, just keep bringing the money up, you understand, and getting printouts on how the money is being spent and how the money is accumulating. Those are the things that we need to be doing, you understand, right now. Hallelujah.
And I want to say that, I appreciate the young girl and her comment, but you know what? I beg to differ, because I have faith in Israel, and we're not dealing with cancer issues, and we're not dealing with issues. We're dealing with nation building, and I have faith in Israel. I have faith in my brothers and sisters. We have a lot of people on this line. We got area code 903. We got a couple of area codes of 404, 920, 347, 240. We got 513 on the line. Area code 513-352-832. We got a lot of people, 111 on the line. We have a lot of people on the line, plus the people that were in the chat room. And I believe, I have faith in them. I believe that they will help us. I believe that these people, some of them are going to show up, and some people are not going to show up, but I believe that they are going to help us by donating what they can donate, because anytime we can go to the Jazz Festival here in this city and spend $24 million in 3 days, we have resources among ourselves. We have a cause. We have a nation. We have a people. We have a language. We have a culture. And we have an Elohim who is specific, who has a covenant with us.
Mm. Hallelujah.
And we can do this. I believe in you guys. I know we can do it. And if you want to return on your money, we'll be able to watch the other nations watch us march through the streets of Washington, D.C. And proclaim that we are the people, because for years they've been telling us who we are. They have identified us as colored folks. They have identified us as Negroes. They have identified us as Black. Now they identify us as African Americans. They have called us all sorts of names. I mean, it's time for us to identify ourselves. And I believe that these people on the line are going to make donations. I believe you guys are going to do it. In my heart, I know you're going to do it. And I know we're going to do what we need to do. And why do we do it? Because you know what? The Most High knows what He knows. Let me tell you what I'm not. I'm not stingy. I don't believe in being stingy. Like I said, when the church needed it, I gave it. And I don't believe in being stingy. I gave what I had. And I was able to bless the church with a lot of money. And if I had the money to do what I need to do, I would pay for it and be done with it, because I don't believe in going through all this. But the Most High fixed it like this on purpose, because
Hallelujah.
He wants to see the people have enough confidence in what we're doing to support the cause that we're doing. He wants to see you understand how important we are and how important it is for us to come together. That the world is waiting for us to stand up.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
They're waiting for us to stand up.
Mm-hmm. Speak the truth.
So, you know, I have to beg to differ with the young lady. I understand her concept, and she is absolutely right. Some people aren't giving because they're hurt. Some people aren't giving because they think they're not gonna get nothing in return. But I guarantee you, when the stuff hit the fan and everything go to hell, you're gonna have to have some place to run into. When these pastors, let me tell you what else. When these pastors are faced with whether you're gonna marry two men or two women, and you decide you're not gonna do it, and the government comes up against you because it's a law, you're gonna have to have somewhere to run into.
Hallelujah.
And these nations, the nation that we are building, is to provide you with a place to run into where we can separate ourselves and come out from among her and be governed by Torah law.
Mm-hmm.
We can't marry two women. And I have a license to marry because I was a minister. I was a pastor in the Christian church. I can marry right now with the license from the state that I'm in. But I refuse. I will not marry two men. I will not marry two women.
Mm-hmm. I hear you there.
We've got to take a stand. We got to stand up. We have
Hallelujah.
To stand up. When they start allowing for transgenders to teach our children in school, and they start teaching, which they're already doing, about alternative lifestyles, we have to have our own school system.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. These are the things that we're trying to do and put together, and it's not hard, because guess what? People start charter schools all the time. We can start our
own
home.
I think the solution's around the corner, though.
All the time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said, I think the solution's around the corner, actually. Because if we're talking about it, that's planting the seeds, you know? And there's a younger generation out there that are really frustrated and are going to come across the exact same problems that we're having right now, and they're going to have years for the solutions to sink into their mind. And they're not going to be as brainwashed as we are, because they're going to be hit to the brainwashing. You see what I'm saying? Because if you talk about somebody trying to fool you, then they can't fool you if you're looking at them. You see? So I have faith in our younger people. And mm-hmm. I think in about 10 years from now, as the seed planted and they start to get, you know, right now they're in their teens and they start to realize how this world really works, they're going to start to say, okay, I ain't going to fall for that trap anymore. And that's going to be a generation really going to be effective. We just have to set it up for them now.
Right. Okay, we got somebody else that pushed one. Area code 513, go ahead. As soon as your mic is open, you are on the air. I'm gonna as soon as it. Okay, 513, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just want. Where can I send a donation? Can you give me an address, please?
If you can go to, do you want to mail it or you want to send it over PayPal?
I would probably mail it.
You would rather mail it? I didn't hear her. What did she say?
Just she mail it.
Okay, let me give you the area of the address. You can send it to P.O. Box to the Nation of Yehuda, and Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, and it's P.O. Box 18263, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45218.
Thank you.
And again, thank you so much for whatever donation you give. Anyone else that wants to mail it, you can also send it to P.O. Box 18263, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45218, and it is the Nation of Yehuda, and Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. And we'll take money orders, any kind of payment that you want to send, we will be more than appreciative. And thank you again, ma'am, so much for your donation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at that. See, I told you Israel will step up to the plate when the time comes. Israel will step up to the plate. I have every faith in Israel to know this is the time for us to start organizing. This is it. I mean, we spend hundreds of dollars on clothes, hairdo, fingernails, shoes, all kind of stuff. This is a very important endeavor, what we're about to do.
Historic.
Very important. Historic, absolutely. Historic. And we have to be able to put our minds together and come together. And look at that. All we need is one person. Say, I'll send some money. Where do you need me to send it to? And a lot of people may not want to do it over online. We understand that. If you want to send money, order, send it. We're going to use that money to make sure when we march to the street to Washington, D.C., that our presence is known. Because we got to do something for our babies. We got to do something. We got to do. The church has failed. You heard what she said. People are running from the church because they preach this. We're going to get rich quick, and it's over. He's been to bless, and we've been to have more money than we know what to do with, and it fell through because we're in an economic crisis right now.
Hallelujah.
And we're not using this to buy no shoes, to buy no clothes, to buy no pay no car notes, and to pay no rent or nothing. We're using this to march and to pass out literature, to march through the streets of Washington, D.C., and the demonstration that we have. And we would really prefer everyone to be there. But if you can't be there, please try to assist us in some sort of a donation. Because I have faith in you. I believe we're going to do this. Because everybody's tired.
Can you I remember I think it was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I told you I was going to send like $10.
Yes.
And was that the same place, the Nation of Yehuda, or was it another something else?
No, it was the same thing. We are putting money into. Now, the $10 that you were going to send for the treasury, Brother Adonia, I said, is the same. Actually, it's the same thing.
Okay.
So,
well, okay,
you know, we're going to.
That is
okay,
correct.
I'm going to put it. I want to put that in. And do you check and see in a few days, just to see that if it's there, to make sure that your PayPal account is working correctly?
I sure will. I appreciate that. Look, we got another person that's been donated $10. And like I said, it doesn't have to be much. Because, if we have 19,000 people that are listening to our show, just think about it. If 19,000 people were to donate $10.
That's a stretch, Gavirik. I said a dollar.
I mean, you know, but I'm just saying, hold on. We got somebody else that pushed 111. Hold on. Area code 111, I'm getting you on the air right now, just a moment, and we're going to get you on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is your sister, Malka. How are you? Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, my brothers. I got a question. Will there ever be another State of the Nation address? Because that was an excellent idea, and everybody just kind of dropped the ball like, well, whatever.
Well, we're going to actually have the State of the Nation address September the 1st, but what we're going to do is it's just going to be curtailed to the people that are local and the people
okay.
that are part of our group. So we can kind of start forming a group together, a committee together for the march. But we are definitely going to have one. We will try again next year to see if we can recruit people to come to the one next year. But we're still going to have it on September the 1st for the people that are local in the Cincinnati area.
Okay. I didn't know if it was canceled or if it was still going or what the deal was.
Oh, no. We're still going. We're still having it. So we'll get you the information that you need and we'll go from there.
All right, thanks.
All right, shalom, shalom. That is one of my younger sisters on the line. So,
is that the artist?
Sorry.
Is that the
artist? Matter of fact, you guys, I want you to know I am the oldest girl of eight. I am the oldest of eight girls. So we have a very large family, and it's a lot of women. And in total, in between all of myself and my sisters. Between our children and our children's children, there are 52 people. So I'm used to governing a large group of people.
Okay.
So, you know, we're on the move, and we just want to see some things happen because we believe in family. And, yes, Brother Dawid, that is the artist. That is the one who has gone to school to become a graphic artist online. So, like I said, we have a lot of talent in Israel. My other sister is on the line, and she is a lieutenant commander in the Navy. She's on the line today. So, I mean, we got a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, and Israel is rich with people with a lot of talents and a lot of powerful people on this line. So, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, shout out to my sister. I love you. You know, thanks a lot for being on the show. Anyone else that want to make a donation or a comment, we're here, you know, to accommodate you. If you want to mail it in, again, the address is P.O. Box 18263, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45218. And it is the Nation of Yehuda, Nation of Yehuda. So we will definitely encourage everyone to do that because we need as much assistance as we can. And I believe that Atlanta, like I said, the mega bus is leaving Atlanta. You can get your tickets as cheap as $13 if you pay for it right now. And it's $13 one way and $26 in total. That's really, really, really cheap. And the hotel rooms are $79 a night, and they have double beds in them. The Comfort Inn and the address is 1600 New York Avenue, and that's really pretty cheap as well. So we're trying to get everybody committed, and we're ready to roll, and we want to do some positive things. And you know what? We just love Israel, and we're not anti-government. We're pro-Israel, and we're going to walk with our heads high, and we're going to proclaim the name of Yah, and we're going to stand on those grounds, and we're going to give a shout out to the Most High, and we're going to blow the shofar, and we're just going to do what we do as a nation.
Hallelujah.
That's who we are. That's what we do. And we're going to watch the atmosphere change because it's time for a change. It's our time now.
I'm going to try to get some of the old, I'm going to get some of the WhoNet members together.
Okay.
And then we'll have a talk because since I'm in Sweden, it's hard for me to coordinate. They're located in California and Chicago and different areas in the U.S. And I'm gonna I'm gonna start calling them up, and maybe they can start coordinating something with you.
That sounds beautiful. Look at that. Look at that. That's beautiful, Brother Dawid. Thank you so much. Look at how Israel is coming together. And like I said, I'm going to call the Metro Police Department on tomorrow. She told me to call her tomorrow because we should be able to get the okay to go ahead and set up the website and everything. And then I got a call from an agent from the FBI last week to ask me some questions. And she just asked general questions like, have I ever done this before? Would there be any people there that would protest against us? And how many people do I think is coming? And I couldn't give her an answer about the people, but I told her, you know, that we're hoping we can fill up that grassy area because this is our time to come. This is our time.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, I don't have any negative stuff on my record or anything. So they're moving the application up through the channels, and they're checking us out, and they're watching and stuff. And as long as we do what we're supposed to do, everything is going to be all right. Don't be afraid. The Most High is going to protect us. We're going to be fine.
Hallelujah. My sentiments.
I'm sorry?
My sentiments, exactly. The Most High.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. So if anybody, if you have any more questions, comments, concerns, if you want to just give a shout out from where you are, we want to hear from you. I think it's been a very good show. Brother Dawid called us all the way from Sweden. He's our international brother that we've met. We love him dearly, and we appreciate all of his input. And Huonet is his organization, and it's spelled H-W-U-N-E-T. Brother Dawit, you want to give them your website address?
Oh, yeah. It's HebrewsWakeUp.com or Huonet.org. That's H-W-U-N-E-T.org. Or the easy one is HebrewsWakeUp.com.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
All right. When this brother tells you he is a historian, you can go on his website. He is thorough in his research. I have went there and spent hours and hours on there enjoying it because I also like to read and study. So he has put the information out there. And now you got people that are doing the work for you. All you got to do is just click the mouse, and all the work is done already. All you got to do is just read it.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
He put in countless hours of research so that Israel will know what's going on. So, again, if we don't have any other questions, comments, Brother Donia, you have anything you want to say before we say farewell?
No. All I want to say is that I love all of y'all and keep up the good work. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brother Dawit, you got something you want to say to the people?
Yeah, I just want to say, I'm just happy that we're all actually just talking, and this is the beginning, you know, just speaking about it, planning it. That is the first step, and where amazing things happen. I don't want to say magic, but where amazing things happen, because when we start coming together, Allah sees us. He sees the bones moving, sees the bones shaking, and then prophecy will be fulfilled.
All right. You know, and for me, I'm sorry our co-host couldn't be on the line, Sister Kavai. She wasn't with us this week, but we just want to say shout out to you. We hope everything's going well. And for me, I want Israel to know that I love you. I love you. I love you. I believe in us. We can do this. We have the power. We have the means, and we have the support to do this. And we can't wait until we meet together and start enjoying ourselves and having a good time and walking together as a nation and building our kids and building our communities one family at a time, because I'm excited to see that happen. And goodbye, you guys.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
My music done stopped on me. Let me see what's going on with my stuff. It's cutting up on me. But we're going to get this done because this is one of my favorite songs. And if that don't work, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do this one right here. Make that happen. How about that? Hallelujah.
We could just start singing acapella.
We're going to try Erica Badu and see if she can help us. We'll be here because we're having some technical difficulties with our computer. But we want to say farewell to everybody. And we love you. We love you. We love you. And hopefully we won't have these problems next week because we've been having some real problems with our computer. But we will see you guys next week. We'll see you. So long, Israel. Have a nice day. Bye-bye. Next week. So long.